Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show where we don't just talk about public speaking, we show you how to use it as a superpower to scale your business, build your brand, and stop being the best kept secret in your industry. I'm Kelly O'Hara. And if you've ever wondered how some people can step on stage, tell one story, and suddenly have the entire room leaning in, today's guest is the reason that happens. This is not your average how to be a better speaker conversation. This is about your story, as in the stuff that moves people, books business, and makes you unforgettable. Joining me today is Dr. Danny Brassell. But don't let the PhD fool you. This guy is less ivory tower and more rock the room. Danny has spent nearly 30 years helping everyone from preschoolers to corporate execs communicate like pros. He's the founder of the Well-Crafted Story Workshop and the brains behind the freestoryguide.com, where he teaches leaders how to turn their personal experience into persuasive narratives that convert, not just inspire. He's worked with everyone from solopreneurs to C-suite decision makers, delivering powerhouse workshops and keynotes that prove storytelling isn't fluff, it's fuel for growth. And while his background's impressive, he's an author, an educator, and communication expert, what sets Danny apart is how amazingly good he is at turning your story into a strategic asset. He's got the science, the structure, and the soul behind stories that build trust, drive results, and leave audiences ready to take action. Today, we're breaking down the five C's of storytelling, the biggest mistakes professionals make when they open their mouths, and how to stop telling stories that fall flat and start delivering ones that land clients. So get ready, because this isn't just theory. Danny's here to help you craft the kind of message people remember and act on. So let's get into it. Welcome to the spotlight, Danny. I'm so thrilled to have you here.
My goodness, Kelly. Thank you for that kind introduction. I have to live up to it now. I appreciate you.
Oh, you will have no problem doing that. And you are an industry expert that this show really appreciates so much, because storytelling is, if you can't tell the story well, you're out of luck. And so to have an expert here that can share some of the strong points of that and some of the skill sets you need to get, this is going to be helpful. Now, look, you've worked with everyone from preschoolers to rocket scientists. You've got a wild range, but take me back. I need to know, what was the moment that you realized you had something to say that people needed to hear?
That's a loaded question. I guess if I were going to write my autobiography, it would be called Pivots, because I feel 9 lives already. 30 years ago, I was a journalist, got to cover President Bush Sr. in the 1992 presidential election. It was a great job. I got to meet every editor in the country. And one editor of a major daily offered me a job for $16,500 a year doing the city beat. And then a friend told me that they were hiring teachers in South Central Los Angeles for $25,000 a year. So I became an educator for the noblest of reasons, for the high pay. And I fell in love with teaching. I've actually, like you said, I've taught all age levels, from preschoolers to rocket scientists. I can make that claim because I used to teach English as a second language to engineering students at the University of Southern California. And things were rolling along. And in 2005, my wife and I attended a real estate seminar, which turned out to be a scam, and we lost everything overnight. And I could focus on all the negatives, but I'm a positive person, and I learned a lot of great lessons. First of all, my wife is my soulmate. She's an incredible human being. She stuck by me through thick and thin, and just can't rave enough about her. Second of all, money's no longer my ultimate motivation, because I learned you can lose that just in a second. Third, I try not to judge other people, because if I was somebody looking at what I had done, I would have said, you deserve that. But now I realize, if you don't know everything about a person, you really don't know anything about a person. Fourth, I became a Christian, which I'm always embarrassed to confess, but the more I read the Bible, I'm not the first screw up to find Jesus. And fifth, I didn't want to file for bankruptcy. And my accountant said, you have to make this much more money this year in order to avoid that. And so I started speaking on the side and I hit that number right on the number. Then the next year, Kelly, he set a much higher number for me and I hit that number right on the number. So in year three, I thought maybe I should set a higher number. And basically during one of the worst economic downturns in American history, I was able to build up a very lucrative speaking business, which was rolling along wonderfully until 2020 when a thing called COVID happened and people asked me, how's business? I'm like, oh, it's great. How they just shut down the world and I lost 200 gigs overnight. Really great. The benefit from that was that for years, people had been asking me to coach them in speaking and I always resisted because as a teacher, I've always had a very high standard for my students. I actually will not let you fail. I will be on your back until you succeed. And working with entrepreneurs, business owners, and executives has been just a huge blessing because they're highly motivated. They do the work. And I think I've gotten more joy out of this than any other thing I've ever done. That's a very long answer to your short question, but I've done a lot. I guess I accidentally fell into coaching people how to speak.
I got to say, after you tell me that story, I think that's not how I pick up on it. I think, wow, every single thing you described took you to the next step. And it's interesting when you have a coach or someone that sets that bar, they do it for you and you rise to the occasion. You know what else it makes me think of? This just came to mind, but exactly from your story. If you tell people, listen, if you want to have a baby, I remember when I had my first child, I remember they said it's going to cost, I think at the time it was $180,000 to get your child from first grade to from day one until they're 18. If that's with no private schools, no lessons, just straight on through public school. And I remember thinking, that's insane. We don't have that kind of money. That's, no one can do that. And now it's so much higher, it's three times that. But I remember if everybody paid attention to that, they wouldn't do it. But it's funny when you set the bar, I have to have this, period. You get it. You create it. It's a non-negotiable for you. And when we have our kids, we do the same thing. We're like, non-negotiable. He's got to eat. He's got to go to school. You make it happen. So what's the through line that connects all of these roles for you?
I've always loved to entertain and educate at the same time. And now with coaching, I get to expand that influence to help others. And that's what I always, that was always my joy in teaching was watching. A teacher told my youngest daughter the other day she couldn't do something. My daughter's goals were unrealistic. And I told my daughter this. I said, when a person tells you can't do that, what they're really saying is they can't do that. Don't let somebody else's limitations limit you from your dreams. And that's my joy in teaching has always been to pump people up to get. I always tell my little ones, I said, sometimes you need somebody else to believe in you before you believe in yourself. I believe in all of you. They only give me the best and the brightest. So let's go out and make this world a better place. I said that all the time. And I have students from 30 years ago come back and say, hey, I remember all these different sayings you used to have. Those things stick. I like it.
Love that. We have such a respect for teachers in my life. My mother was a teacher, along with being an entrepreneur. My father was very successful. He's an Olympian. He's an Olympian coach. He was a sports entrepreneur, but guess what? He was a 40-year teacher at a college, and he always kept that going because he had such a love of teaching. I have a sister and brother-in-law that teach. I coach. It's such a valuable profession, and I so appreciate it that you took this way, but you know what? You can tell it just brings you joy. It's really that there's a deeper mission underneath everything you do, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I was working about 3 years ago, I worked with this 22-year-old named Jason. Jason was driving me crazy, Kelly. I always tell people there's two ways you get better at speaking. First of all, you should watch lots of speakers. And second of all, one of my mentors was a guy named Jim Rohn. And Jim used to say, you can't pay other people to do your push-ups. Translation, you got to do the work. You got to go out there. You got to speak. And so I told Jason, when I told everybody, I'm like, hey, even the smallest towns in America have a Lions Club, an Optimist Club, a Rotary Club, Kiwanis Club. Speak there. Speak to schools. Speak to synagogues and temples and churches and chambers of commerce and Toastmasters. And he just was a Debbie Downer. Oh, I don't know anybody. I can't speak anywhere. He frustrated me to no end, Kelly. And finally I said, hey, do you have a Facebook account? He said, yeah. I'm like, we're going on right now. Facebook Live. You're going to do your speech. He was all nervous. So he went on live, did his 45-minute talk that we put together. One woman from Ontario, Canada accidentally tuned in and watched him. And guess what? He stunk. And I forced him to do it again the next day. I didn't get to watch him, but he stunk. He didn't stink as bad as the first time, though. And here's why I share the story of Jason, Kelly. For the last 3 years, every single day, he's gone on Facebook Live and done this presentation. He now has 6,000 people in his community. And last year, he made almost seven figures off of selling to that community. And that's impressive, but that's not the reason I tell the story. The reason I tell the story is I'm just so proud of him. He actually did something. How many of your friends, Kelly, say, oh, I'd love to start a podcast, but all they're doing is they're just ducks quacking. They don't do anything. They just make a lot of noise. I like to be around people that actually get things done. And that's why I love everything that you're doing. And I agree with you. I'm a big believer in coaches. The most successful people in the world, they all have coaches. And that's why I have coaches and I love coaching others. And I want to surround myself with people that are into continuous improvement.
Same, absolutely. I tell people, they say, I don't need a coach. I'll just read the book. I'll just go watch a lot of that. And I'm like, but there'll be sports fanatics. And I'll say, do you think any of those athletes on the NFL, on the Golf Channel, any of these, you think they don't all have coaches? I assure you they've had many because they want to get better. So they go to the best and they get someone who pushes them in a different way than you will do it for yourself. A lot of times you just need a different perspective and a coach can really provide that. So I love this. So let's talk about one of the things that you do that's amazing. You have a well-crafted story workshop that you do. What was the inspiration for launching that? And what gap in the market were you really hell-bent on fixing?
I was coaching with lots of different people. And a friend of mine, Coach Jimmy Hayes Nelson, he's the one that came up with it. He's always said, I want to create a company called Craft. I'm like, I'll open it with you. So he, me, and our friend Dave Ward, I call us the professor, the performer, and the producer, because I come from an academic background. Coach Jimmy was on Broadway and Dave was an attorney. And so we all bring different perspectives to what we do. And it's just about, I've watched a lot of coaches and they get people excited because audiences are responding to them really well. They're giving them a lot of applause, telling them they're great speakers. But Jimmy and I only measure your effectiveness in one way and one way only. Do people in your audience decide to take the next step with you? Now, that next step can be an unpaid next step. Subscribe to my podcast or book a complimentary phone call with me. It can be a paid next step. Buy my product or invest in my coaching program. But all I'm doing to measure your effectiveness when you're on stage is how do we get that number higher that more and more people are engaging with you? And that's where I get the satisfaction is when I worked with a guy, Gustavo, about 18 months ago. Gustavo should be president of the United States. Greatest guy I've ever met. Came to America from Ecuador 30 years ago. Didn't speak a word of English. Did every menial job on the planet. Invested every dime in real estate. 30 years later, he's worth like $40 million. He's a very impressive individual. And so we were crafting his offer. And his offer is he has a four-month coaching program in real estate for $40,000. Now, Kelly, I craft a lot of offers. That's a very high ticket offer.
Wow.
Yeah. But I told Gustavo exactly what I just shared with you about Jason and everybody else. I always say, hey, you got to get out there and speak. And he mentioned he was going on a podcast that night. I'm like, here's my phone number, Gustavo. You got to call me tomorrow and tell me how it went. And he calls me the next day, Kelly. He's all excited. Oh my gosh, Danny, you're a genius. I'm like, did you go on the podcast? He's like, yes. I'm like, did you make the offer? He's like, yes. I'm like, did you sell any? He's like, 23. Wait a sec. Kelly, my expertise is in reading, not math. But if I'm doing my math correctly, he made $920,000 that night on an offer we had created that afternoon. And since then, he's made eight figures. And again, I don't share the story because of the financial gain he got. I think that's extraordinary. But the reason I love Gustavo is he did it. He went out. He was willing to put himself out there. Most people are never willing to put themselves out there. And I can't stress this enough to your audience, is you got to go out there and do the work. That's how you get better. And speaking, it's a skill. You know, the more reps you get, the better you get, the more confident you get, the less I work with. Most of the people I work with, they're not speakers. They're business owners or entrepreneurs that want to grow their business. A lot of them are terrified. They have no. Last week, we were working with a major company in Silicon Valley, and I was with a bunch of engineers. Engineers are great, Kelly, because they're introverted people. They're not like very comfortable on stage. And I was working with this one Indian gentleman, and one of my specialties is helping people add humor to their presentations. And I'm not going to tell you his real name. I'll say his name was Shubunakar. And he's like, Danny, please, you got to make me funny. I need to be able to connect with the audience. And so all we did with his presentation is at the beginning of his talk now, he says, hello, my name is Shubunakar Majahardin. Gee, I sure hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And I'm not trying to make him into a stand-up comedian. All I'm trying to do is to get his audience to grin and nod. Oh, this is a guy I like. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And if we can do that and connect with our audiences, we'll actually have a much bigger impact on the people that we're speaking in front of.
So true. And what you're trying to do is also what you're trying to do when you're speaking is make that connection, and you want to be memorable. And sometimes it's the smallest things. There's a guy, and it's awful that I cannot pull his name up while we're having this conversation, but I can remember his talk and the way he talks. He's on YouTube. He comes out, he takes a cigarette out of his mouth, like smoking, comes out, takes it out, and he waits for a minute and a half, and he holds everybody. And then when he begins to speak, he says, what? And he grabs you, like right away, you got to know, what's this guy going to say next? And it's nothing. And yet it's everything that I now remember. I can't wait to see this guy again, because I got to hear the next thing he's going to do. It just sticks in your mind. It's terrible. I hate to say it. That's me. That's my flaws, remembering names. But he really, these people have a great impact. I love that you do this. So you say storytelling, it's not fluff. It's fuel for your business. You have a framework. It's the 5 C's of storytelling that really simplifies everything. So it just doesn't need to be overcomplicated. Tell us about, will you share about that model and where it came from and why it works so well?
Yeah, so when Coach Jimmy and I work with clients, what we're teaching you how to do is create what we call a well-crafted story. When you work with politicians, they call it a stump speech. In superhero movies, they would call it your origin story. You can call it peanut butter and jelly. It doesn't matter. What this is a presentation that you deliver again and again to introduce yourself to new audiences. And so we have a 5 C's process. The 5 C's are clarity, connect, content, call to action, and close. And I'll just start off with the first C, is the most important one, which is clarity. There are two questions I always ask people before you go on stage. If you can answer these questions, you're in pretty good shape. And if you cannot answer one or both of the questions, you're going to really struggle. And so the first question is this: who is your audience? Now, a lot of people tell me, oh, my audience is everybody. I'm like, if your audience is everybody, your audience is nobody. The riches are in the niches. You got to niche it down. And obviously, you can expand your audience. When I first started speaking, I was a teacher. So I started by speaking to teachers. And then I expanded to also speaking to the parents of students. And then I started speaking to school administrators. And then in one of my masterminds, I was in a mastermind, and this very successful businessman makes about $100 million a year. And he's like, Danny, I want you to train my sales force. And I said, I've never sold anything in my life. I don't think I'm actually qualified to do a sales training. And he looked at me like I was the biggest idiot on the planet. He's like, hey, Danny, if you can get inner city middle school boys to read Shakespeare, you can motivate my sales force. And that was, he did me a great favor. He got me to expand my thinking. I'm like, oh, I guess there's something to that. And so you need to really clarify. I was working with a woman a few weeks ago, Kathy. Kathy's amazing. It's the best niche I've ever heard, Kelly. Kathy's niche is she makes saddles for professional polo players.
Wow, that's niche, Dan.
That's a niche for sure. I said, how much money did you make last year? And she's like, about $800,000. I'm like, what? I need to learn how to make saddles for polo players. I couldn't believe that. That's incredible.
What are we doing?
Got her niche. And I said, you can start with your polo players. And as you get more comfortable, then you can maybe expand to equestrians. And then maybe your message really connects with women. So you can speak more to focus on women and things like that. So you got to first understand who's your audience. The second question is, what is the problem that you solve? Now, the biggest mistake a lot of people make on this is they don't state their problem in the form of a problem. They state it in the form of their solution. So for example, when we're working with financial planners, I'm like, what's the problem that you solve? And they'll say, oh, creating a healthy retirement. That's not a problem. That's a good thing. You should create a healthy retirement. Maybe the problem that you're solving, I suggest, is making sure you have enough money until the day you die. That would be a problem. Working with fitness trainers, I'm like, what's the problem you solve? They're like, healthy living. Healthy living is a good thing. You should be exercising and eating better. Maybe the problem that you're solving is eliminating obesity. That's the problem. When you start, and I'll tell you why this is important. Your audience doesn't care about you at all. All of us, human beings, are very self-centered. I got a problem. Can you solve my problem? So they're thinking, so just before our interview, I was on another podcast, and it was a technology podcast, and the guy runs a tech firm, and he was talking about his software. I'm like, yeah, but nobody cares about your software. What they care about is, I don't understand how to open up Google Docs. I don't even understand Google Drive. If you can speak their language and say, I never understood how to do this type of thing. This is how you connect with an audience, which is the next C, which is the most important part of your presentation when you actually start speaking, because in the first 5 minutes of your presentation, your audience is going to make a decision. The decision is, am I going to be present for this presentation, or am I going to be engaged and leaning in to every word this person says? Jimmy has a nice way of saying it. He said, got a rap, and rap is a little acronym. I had to come up with the acronym because I'm a former teacher. Everything has to be an acronym or alliteration. So rap stands for relatability, authority, and purpose. And so in the first 5 minutes of your presentation, you need to show you're relatable. I'm just like you. Brene Brown, she's a wonderful speaker. She says something which I completely agree with, which she says we need to really show our vulnerabilities to our audiences. And I agree with her 100%. Stop, this is for your audience right now. Stop talking about your successes. Start talking about your failures, because not everybody in your audience has succeeded, but they've all failed. And the more you talk about your own failures, your audience is going to see themselves in you. So this is very important to be relatable, but you also have to show that you have authority, which means you got to show them you've struggled with the problem that they're currently suffering from, but you were able to solve that problem. Now they understand you have credibility. And then finally, you need purpose. And purpose is, this is why this is important to me. One of the reasons I do what I do is there's a lot of charlatans out there pitching their speaking services. And one of my biggest pet peeves is people that say, oh, the way you connect with an audience is you got to show them the worst thing that ever happened to you and talk about those tragedies. And here's why I don't do that, Kelly. First of all, the world just survived a global pandemic. Everybody's had a lot of bad stuff happen to them. I don't think we need another sad story. I think we need more stories about hope. Secondly, I'm teaching you how to create a story that you're a presentation that you're going to deliver again and again. Do you really want to talk about the worst moment of your life again and again? I have a friend, his daughter was killed in a school shooting. He's told that story to over 1,000 audiences. You got to be stronger than me to talk about the worst day of your life again and again. I have no idea how he does it. And third, this is where people will get angry with me. I have one objective when I'm on stage. I want you to leave feeling better than when you came in. I want you laughing, smiling, happy. I think there's something admirable about that as a goal. I believe the people that tell the same sad story again and again, by the 20th time they're telling that story, now those are crocodile tears and now they're being manipulative. And I'm not saying it's not an effective sales strategy. It's actually a very effective sales strategy. But I personally don't want to have to take a shower after I get off stage because I just manipulated my audience. There are actual ethical ways to get people to want to do business with you. And that's the power of connection. And I get excited. Yeah, so my purpose is I'm tired of sad talks. That's why I like American movies versus French movies. If Julia Roberts gets killed in the middle of an American movie, I know that by the end of the movie, they'll revitalize her and she'll be alive again. If I'm watching a French film and she gets shot in the middle, I look at my wife, I'm like, I think she's actually dead. I don't think there's going to be a happy ending. It always depresses me. Life's too short to be depressed. I was watching a show the other day, it was totally depressing. It was called The News. And I'm like, ugh, I got to stop watching this stuff. It's nothing but negativity. That's why I watch specials. Yeah, people that inspire me. So again, I'm going all over the place. Long answer to your short question and roundabout.
Terrific. It's absolutely terrific. And you're right. The news, I've seen it. We stopped watching it too, because it has structure. It was crisis number one, crisis number two, murder, death, starvation, all that. Oh, sports and weather. back to,
That's right.
I'm not watching this anymore. So we stopped with nighttime news, and we're a lot happier for it. Stopped that a long time ago. I would like to share a couple thoughts about something that you said. It was so beautifully. That was so well put. A lot of times I'm talking to speakers, and I say to them, you know, that horrific story, you're right. You can tell when someone's told it past the first time. If it brings tears, but pretty soon you start to see through it. If you know that person's out on the circuit a lot, you go, wow, really? And then what? And then what happens after that? After you've told that story, I have somebody very near and dear, but after you've told that story, I go, what do you want to accomplish with that story after that? Where are you going with this? Why are they signing up with you? Do you want them to contact you again? What do you have to provide? And that links perfectly with that whole thought of it's not about you. When you're up there on the stage and you're scared to death and you're afraid of that they're going to judge you and you have all this achieved desperate fear, they don't care about that. They're for you because most of them don't want to be on the stage. So they come to that talk initially, they're for you. The biggest turnoff for me, and I've told this audience this before, the minute I'm listening to someone, let's say online, it's a virtual event, and someone comes out the door and the first thing they do is tell you how they've helped thousands of people, made millions of dollars. I already left the room because I don't care. I gave you my time, which is as valuable to me as yours is to you. And I came to get something that I don't have already, something I want to learn or something that will inspire me, whatever. But if you start with, look how amazing I am, I've already left the room. And that's it. I just really appreciate the way that you put that. It was so beautiful, the construction of this. Talk to me about something else. You have such a great focus on a strong structure to a story that works across all platforms. I really wish that you'd go into that subject because I know a lot of people, not only are they saying, I don't have a story or mine's not that interesting, but even if they do, they say, I don't know how to construct this in a way that why is anybody going to listen to me?
Well, I'll give you an exercise I give with clients. And so this is for everybody listening right now. I want you to sit in a comfortable chair with a pen and paper, libation of choice. And for an hour, I want you to write down every story that's ever happened to you. And I don't mean the entire story. I just mean triggers. The time I locked myself out of the car in front of Costco. The time Dad spilt mustard on his tie when we were at that fancy restaurant. You'll find in an hour, you can come up with about 500 triggers like that. So that's the first part of the exercise. The second part of the exercise is then I want you to think about what's this story really about? Oh, this is actually a story about never giving up. Oh, this is a story about loyalty. Oh, this is a story about love. And if you were to go on my computer, I have hundreds of files with tens of thousands of stories based on what I'm looking for my audience to do. What are the points I'm trying to make? So I'll give an example. I'm thinking of Kathy. Kathy, I just adore, my saddle maker for polo players. She was having difficulties creating a clear call to action. And so I said, what do you want your audience to understand? And she said, I want them to understand that they can't do this on their own. They should hire me. I'm like, oh, so you need to hire an expert story. And she said, yes, I need to hire an expert story. I'm like, okay. Now, most people, when they're telling stories, they'll just tell a story that's just hitting the nail on the head. You don't want to, for Kathy, it would be a story about a time she sold a saddle to a professional polo player. I'm like, no, that's not the kind of story you want. Here's a story, a hire an expert story. So I'll end a presentation and I'll leave you with this. Many years ago, my wife and I had theater tickets and we were dressed to the nines, all excited to drive into the theater when we got a flat tire. My wife said, I'll call AAA. I'm like, you don't have to call AAA. I'm a man. I can fix a flat tire. And so I opened up the trunk and I got the spare tire. And then I got the pumper thingy and the thing that's shaped like an X that you use it to take the nuts out of the tire thing. And 27 minutes later, I had grease all over me. The tire wasn't fixed. My wife is shaking her head like, I could have done so much better than this guy. Unbeknownst to me, she had called AAA. And a tow truck shows up, and this 17-year-old punk hops out of the truck, and in 3 minutes flat, he fixes the flat tire. I think there are times in life when all of us think we can do it ourselves, but if you want to save time, you want to save money, and you want to save a whole lot of headaches and embarrassment, you hire an expert. And so what I'm doing there, Kelly, is I'm telling a story that the point of the story is subliminally to tell the audience, I need to hire an expert. I'm not saying you need to hire me to make your saddle or to fix your internet or whatever it is that you're trying to pitch, but I am implanting that into your head. And this is why I've always thought people are crazy to ignore the old Grimm's fairy tales and the nursery rhymes. Those things stick in your head forever, and there's morals to them. And that was actually one of the benefits of teaching kindergartners. I have one of my books, basically, it shows every week I give people a concept, an inspirational quote, an inspirational story, a book recommendation on a book they should read, but they're probably too lazy because they're adults. So I also give them a children's picture book recommendation, demonstrates the same concept, and you read that in 5 minutes. There's nothing that pleases me more than when I get a CEO starting off his board meeting with a Dr. Seuss book. But that's the power of stories, though, Kelly, is of all people, it was Joseph Stalin who said a million dead is a statistic. One dead is a tragedy. He's right. Facts inform, but stories transform. And it's just, and the little things, how are you memorable? I love your reflecting. You can't remember his name, but you remember the speaker with the cigarette. And that's important. I read Michael Caine's autobiography on acting, and it was a fantastic story. When he first started in acting, nobody was casting him. And so what he did is he bought these big thick rimmed glasses that he didn't need. And casting directors are like, wait a sec, what about that guy with the thick rimmed glasses? That's how they remembered him. Watch speakers. I'm doing this all the time. 20 years ago, I watched Meg Cabot give a presentation. She wrote The Princess Diaries, and she shows up wearing a tiara. And she's like, I'm always the only person wearing a tiara in the room. I remember that 20 years later. It's like, what can you do to be memorable? I was at an event with a couple of my coaching clients or pretty famous athletes. And so there was an event with all these famous athletes speaking. And the last two speakers were Peter Vidmark and Mary Lou Retton, Olympic gold medalists from the 1984 Summer Olympics. And the way they end their presentation is they both do these backflips. And I went up to Mary Lou afterwards. I'm like, oh my gosh, you just kicked everybody's butt. I need to learn how to make a backflip. That's the coolest ending I've ever seen to a presentation. So this is why I'm watching. I always tell people, two ways you get better at speaking. I told you, you got to do the reps, but I also say, you got to watch lots of, I watch 10 speakers a day. I watch politicians. I watch comedians. I watch televangelists. I watch them in front of big groups, in front of small groups, in front of men, in front of women. Here, I'll give your audience a ninja strategy. The ninja strategy is this. I watch a lot of televised award shows because when the person wins the Academy Award, they only have 45 seconds to give a speech. I want to see how they use their 45 seconds. Now, most people waste their time. They get up there, they're like, I want to thank God. I want to thank the Academy. It's stupid. Nobody's paying attention. But every now and then a person really connects. And so the example I like to give is a few years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Joe Walker who won the Academy Award for Best Film Editing. Now, Kelly, this is Hollywood. The important people are in the front of the room, the actors. And the camera is scanning the crowd. You can see none of them care because this is film editing. And Joe Walker gets up on stage. He's British. He speaks very slowly and distinctly. He says, a lot of people don't know this, but when phrased properly, the term Academy Award nominee can be used as an insult. Now the camera's scanning the room, people leaning in. What's he talking about? He says, for example, yesterday I got in an argument with my 17-year-old daughter and she said, Academy Award nominee Joe Walker. All of a sudden you see everybody laughing hysterically. He gets off stage. Denzel Washington wants to meet him. Sandra Bullock wants to meet him. Brad Pitt wants to meet him. Time Magazine said it was one of the highlights of the Academy Awards. 45 seconds. Well done, Mr. Walker. He connected. This is what I'm always working on with people is how are you going to connect? And again, I like using humor because I think humor is a universal, is people remember things that make them laugh. They remember things that make them sad also. And again, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in not telling sad stories at all. I just want a happy ending. I got to end with something hopeful because you got to show your audience that they can do it.
I love this. This was absolutely so joyous. And I think everybody now has got to be interested in getting together with you and getting this wonderful resource that you offer for free. It's called the free story guide.com. Go to freestoryguide.com. You got to tell, who's it for? What can someone expect when they dive into it?
Yeah. So if you go to freestoryguide.com, guide like a tour guide, freestoryguide.com, what you're going to get is your free well-crafted story blueprint. What this is, the actual structure we take our clients through on how they can create their own well-crafted presentations. What this does, it takes the guesswork out of how to create a more effective presentation and shows you the research-based reasons on why we're putting things here and there. And what this means for you is the peace of mind that you have a tool that's going to bring you more business, more freedom, and you're going to have a greater lasting impact on audiences. And you can get that at freestoryguide.com. And Kelly, I'm just so grateful that you had me on today. You let me go on, and I really appreciate you. And I'm so glad that you're in the world spreading your message. We need a lot more of you.
Thank you so much. And vice versa. I'm thrilled to have you. I think this is so critical. I have wonderful guests that come on this show and illustrate so beautifully how they've taken their industry and they've really exponentially grown their business. I love that. We need those stories. And it's across all industries that you got to get out and speak. But I equally appreciate when I get people who have expertise, absolute, usable, actionable expertise that can help people up their game in an area that, I'm sorry, most people, literally, statistically, as much as statistically, you can grow your business exponentially through public speaking, it is absolutely the same on the other end of the spectrum that people are terrified to do it. Some of them would rather die. And one of the things you illustrated so beautifully is that you could get up there and stuck, and maybe the message at the beginning of your journey is, you know what, it's okay, you lived through it. You did not die, nobody hung you, you weren't buried in business forever, you didn't lose anything, you just realized, I have to get better at this. But I did it, I got up there. And since we're talking about coaches, I can tell you never regret what you do. You only regret what you don't do. You'll survive what you do. We've all made plenty of mistakes and we're still here to talk about it. So I also would love for you to share about the video that you have, the workshop that you have once you sign up for this fabulous free story guide. There's something else available too.
Is there a video on there? I didn't even know if there was a video. So that's great. So if we do have videos, I'm imagining it's taking you through the different process, the different five C's. And again, this isn't rocket science. That's just the way we call them. But there's reasons behind everything that we do. If you want an opinion on your speech, ask Aunt Ethel. If you want the research-based reasons on why you're structuring your speech in this way, then this is the formula for you. And again, even though when we're working with clients, we're working with them on one well-crafted story, the formula works anywhere you want. I'll give you an example. Do we have time?
We do.
Okay. So one example was I was touring schools in India in 2018, and one principal opened up a door and there's 5,000 kids in an auditorium with 20 newspapers and 5 TV stations. And he says, and now for the next hour, Dr. Brassell is going to teach us the 3 secrets to reading better. Whoa, Kelly. Nobody's told me I'm speaking and I have no such speech, but I got 5,000 kids right there. I got media, and fortunately it was India, so I get to slow down my speech. So I look at the kids, I'm like, today I am going to teach you the 3 secrets to reading better. Who wants to learn the 3 secrets to reading better? And the kids are going wild. And in my head, Kelly, I'm like, what the heck are the 3 secrets to reading better? And using the exact same structure I share with my clients, I came up with a speech in 30 seconds, which now has become a company of mine, which is the top reading engagement program on the planet. That came from using this structure in 30 seconds in my head.
You are in your lane, my friend. You are absolutely in your lane, and what a blessing. And I think every speaker can tell you a story of the day that they were thrust into the limelight, not prepared specifically for that event, and how it changed the trajectory of their life, whether they did really well and didn't even realize how well they knew their stuff, that they actually pulled it out. And then the horror stories where they say, oh my God, and then the mic went out, and then I tripped over my dress, and guess what? It was a really great story to tell at the next opportunity that they had an opportunity to show, and it got better. So I don't think there are any coincidences. I think all things feed the next thing that's coming for you. And I think there's no real failures. Those failures are always just the next step to doing it better. I got to ask you, what impact are you most proud of creating so far? What kind of ripple effect do you hope to create in the next few years as well?
I really, most of the people I work with aren't professional. I do work with some professional speakers, some of the top professional speakers who I wish Jimmy likes to name drop. I was telling Jimmy and King Charles that I hate people that name drop. No, I don't name drop. I like confidentiality, but I wish I could tell people, I'm like, oh, I've worked with some people that you think are really dynamite, but they had to work at it really hard.
How to do that, by the way.
What's
you
that?
Get to share that if you want to. I appreciate confidentiality more than most people. I think it shows self-discipline. At the same time, it's part of what you've created. It's so good that the best comes to you.
Thanks.
So if you want to share a couple people that really...
I will not, but I'll let them do it on their own podcast. They can brag about the results. I think it's important to give people their space. But I think what I'm proudest of, I work with mostly people that are terrified of going on stage. You alluded to it. Jerry Seinfeld has the great line when he says that more people would rather die than go on stage and speak. So if you're ever at a funeral, more people would rather be in the coffin than delivering the eulogy. It's a great line that Seinfeld has. And I work with lots of people that have stage fright. We work with stage fright all the time. Back to India, when I was there 7 years ago, I pumped up a school. Because once I gave one speech, I had to give 25 more speeches. And I was pumping up one school and all the kids come up to me afterwards. They're all excited. And one little boy I see, he's got tears in his eyes. He's about 6 years old. And I notice he's missing his left arm. And he looks up at me. He's like, how can I succeed? And I crouch down. I get at his eye level. I'm like, when I was your age, I went to 18 different schools before I was 12. Everybody called me stupid. Because I stuttered. And eventually I went to a school and a teacher, she worked with me one-on-one and she would sing things to me. And I found I could sing them back without a stutter. It's like the movie, The King's Speech. And eventually I lost my stutter and I became a swan. But I looked at that little boy in the eye. I'm like, isn't it interesting that the little boy people used to make fun of because he was stupid, because he couldn't talk right, now gets paid ridiculous sums of money to travel the planet to teach people to do what? And he gets the biggest grin on his face. He's speak. I'm like, don't let anybody ever tell you what you cannot do. And so the greatest gratification I get is with the underdogs, working with people that nobody ever gave them a chance. And I love seeing them knock people's socks off.
You know, it's so true that, you know, it's just one, it could take one person, one teacher, one person that witnesses you or notices you or has the time to leave you with something that you would never have heard otherwise that will change your life. All of us can go back to school and look at and name the number one teacher that changed the game for you. And hopefully they're the teacher that taught you to love how to learn. They opened that door for you. It's just magical. There's just nothing more important, more valued, and more underpaid than teachers. And they make all the difference. So I'm so grateful for what you do for a living, what you have done, what you bring to so many industries, so many students of all ages. I mean, it's really amazing. What an amazing legacy that you've created. And this has been quite the ride. I want to thank you, Danny, for hanging out with us today. Your energy and your insight. This was a storytelling masterclass. It's all rolled into one. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Kelly. I'll end with the same refrain I used to give my little ones and my older ones, whoever I was teaching, as they exited my classroom. I always reminded them, remember, kids, education is valuable, but execution is priceless. Knowledge is not power. Only applied knowledge is power. Knowing what the right thing to do and doing the right thing are two very different things. So let's go out, do the right thing, and make this world a better place. And thank you for helping make the world a better place, Kelly. I appreciate you.
We should be having that announcement after every meeting, after every board meeting, after every candidate speech. I think that is the right lesson for everybody to take away with every occasion where we come together. I think it's beautiful. You've really got a gift for making communication feel less like a chore and more like it's a catalyst and we're all the better for it. I walked away with so many gems from this meeting, and mostly it's so important, clarity and connection. They're really the engine behind everything. And your story, it's not just a backstory, it's your business strategy in disguise. So when you tell it, doors open, clearly your story is all about that. And you provide that for people every day, helping people walk through doors they didn't even realize could be open to them. If you want to dive deeper into Danny's storytelling magic, really go check him out at DannyBrissell.com. I will have his links in the show notes on all of the places where you get your podcasts. And if you're ready to start crafting a message that doesn't just sound good, but actually builds trust and books business, get his free resource at freestoryguide.com. I did. It's packed with really smart, simple, actionable strategies that help you stop blending in and start standing out. And with that, really hurry, in case he doesn't realize this, there's a free webinar that's called Well-Crafted Story, Leveraging Your Story to Generate 7 Figures. I don't know. I think this is a must-see video if you want to upscale your storytelling skills. Because Danny's not just teaching storytelling. He's really redefining how we use our voice as entrepreneurs and leaders and change makers. This is what public speaking can really do when it's done with purpose and precision. He's all about that. So if you enjoyed this conversation, do us a solid. Like us, share us. Share us with some people. Subscribe if you want. It really makes a difference. We love hearing what resonated with you. And your feedback really helps us bring more powerhouse guests like Danny. Here on The Spotlight, we're not just spotlighting great speakers. We're showing you how your voice can be your business. When you know how to show up and share it right, everything changes. So thank you again, Danny, for coming to The Spotlight. And everyone who came today, thank you for being with us. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you all soon. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know, and I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.